Watch.
I'm Alicia.
I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we discuss queer lady movies for the queer women and such.
The women with Y, X, anything you want.
Yeah. Non-cis.
I just realized.
Involved. Yeah.
Y and X. Like chromosomes.
Whoa.
I wonder if that. Because.
But the Y one is kind of older.
That's true. I'm sure it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
But just when you say them next to each other like
no,
that.
No, it's true. Yeah. Yeah. It makes you think. Makes you go,
Yeah. Chromosomes are dumb.
So sciencey. No. anyway, today we are talking about The Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
Yeah. So we have, you know, basically talked about this movie at length.
Yeah.
In several podcasts.
We've already talked about it.
But, you know, it's such a good film that it deserves its own thing. Plus, it's just what we do.
Yes.
It has to be done.
It does have to be done.
Must be done.
And now we're doing it.
We're doing it! Yeah, so we had originally seen this film during Seattle International Film Festival.
That's right.
Back in the summer, I guess, June-ish?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Something
it
like
is
that.
I think it's like late May, early June or something like that.
So we had gone, we went separately.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, tell me what you think or whatever. I think you saw it, the like show after mine or
something like that. Yeah.
So I was like,
what happened.
I remember
like 10 lifetimes ago.
It is. I remember trying not to like say anything about it because I didn't want to like, I didn't want to over or underwhelm you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, well, you've read the book, right?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. And my first impression of seeing this, the first time I saw it, I was actually really disappointed. I mean, not that I didn't like it, but the book is so expansive. Like, it covers so much of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that makes the book really long, and at points during the book, I was like, this is really long. I did really like all that backstory. I really liked it because you got, like, a really solid idea of who Cameron is.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I remember that's, after you saw it, I was, like, very relieved that you felt the same way, because I had loved the book so much, and I came into this movie thinking it was going to be something different than what it was.
Yeah,
it's
too.
Still a great movie. Like,
totally.
I still really like it.
Yeah,
but when
and I like it more the more I watch it, actually.
Yeah, it's just the more you compare it. Well, I try to think of, you know, adaptations of books as just, like, a separate medium, a different kind of art, which it is.
It really is, yeah.
But, you know, it's still that nagging feeling of, like, this was based on a book, and the book is really expansive. Mm-hmm. And I feel like for those who haven't read the book, they might not fully understand, like, who Cameron is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. Although, rewatching this just today for this recording, and maybe, I mean, I can't know because I have read the book, so, like, I do have an idea in my head of who Cameron is. But I do feel like the character of Cameron in this movie, even though you don't get really any of her backstory except for just that one little part with Coley, that she is, like, a really nuanced character. And the thing that I really liked about her in the book, it does come across where, like, she is actually just, like, really herself.
Yeah.
Even through all of this stuff, like, and she's questioning herself, and she questions the world, and I think you get a lot of that outside of the camp in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the movie, when she's almost the entire time in the camp, you also see that, I feel like. Or at least I felt it. I just really, I like that character so much.
It's like I could see, what's her name, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah.
Who plays Cameron, I could, like, see her, you know, acting with her face, knowing, like, what she's thinking.
Yeah.
And, like, being able to, like, remember in the book, like, how much Cameron thought and how much she said about her thoughts. Which obviously can't really translate into a film unless you're going to have a voiceover.
Right.
And which would have killed
we
it.
Learned in Truth About Jane, voiceovers can, really kill a movie.
So when a book is so in someone's head, it is really difficult to,
I think she was perfectly cast, to be honest.
Oh, my God,
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would have done a great job, but she did a great job.
She did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Actually, everyone in this movie is super good.
Yeah, the cast is fantastic.
Yeah. We have Sasha Lane again. My heart.
She
plays...
Jane Fonda.
Yeah, Jane Fonda. Oh, I love her so much.
Yeah.
And then Adam.
Adam is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he identifies as Two-Spirit, is that correct?
Yeah.
Which I thought
was... So he's an indigenous kid.
Yes.
And I guess, I mean, they use the pronouns he, him. Mm-hmm. He uses them in the movie, so that's what we're going to use.
I don't remember.
Those are English pronouns anyway, so it, true. Doesn't really matter.
It's, yeah. But, it's like comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah, exactly.
Except they're fruit. I don't know.
Anyway.
I always get lost in that.
Yeah. But it is cool that, I mean, I've never seen a movie in my life with a Two-Spirit character.
That's true. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I thought...
Which isn't surprising, unfortunately.
But, yeah, I do like that it was there. And, you know, we do get a little bit of his cultural background. Mm-hmm.
A tiny bit,
like the same amount as Sasha's.
Right.
I mean, Jane Fonda's character.
Yeah. Which is only a little bit more than Cameron's.
Yeah. Right.
We get a little bit from everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just we get that background, but it's not as discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the audience is still introduced to what. Two-spirit person.
In a way, the whole iceberg thing is actually a really great device to, give you a bunch of characters and tell you a bunch of information about them, kind of seamlessly.
Yeah. Man, that just made me think, maybe this movie is kind of, the iceberg, because it kind of starts off on, the big, surface level.
Yeah, you're right.
It's all very surface level, because, we jump right into, the issues.
Yeah.
Cameron gets caught and she's going away.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really know.
I think
know.
My favorite, maybe not my favorite scene, but one of my favorite scenes is actually before that one. Because the movie opens on Cameron and Coley, that's her best friend, / it's actually her girlfriend. And they're in...
Bible study.
Yeah, Bible study, youth group or whatever. This preacher, pastor person, I don't know what you call him, he is being real heavy-handed, he says, do you know what grown-ups are doing in church?
Yes.
He's like, we're trying to undo everything we did at your age.
Yeah.
The noose is tightening around your neck.
Yeah, but he's, then, so serious.
Yeah, it's, really over the top. And then, but that, I found that really interesting, right from the get-go, that voiceover, his, whole monologue thing, is layered over the scene where Cameron and Coley are, biking home. It's fall. It's, this very innocent scene, really beautiful. They're smiling. And, yeah, they bike home to Cameron's house, cute little teenagers.
Yeah.
And then no one's home, so they start making out. And, they are so pure.
Yeah.
And I love that part because even though it's not the same as the entire backstory of Cameron in the book, where she actually has multiple girlfriends and or love interests, I should say.
Yeah.
And you really get explained what happened to her parents and why she lives with her aunt, and
there's a lot
with Coley too. Coley's a way more fleshed out character.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more happening there. At least in the movie, you still get that brief little moment where you're oh, they're really sweet and they're really in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still get the, innocence of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did the stylistic choice of, kind of diving in deeper to basically, the, flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that. But, yeah, it does suffer from the fact that, we don't get to really know Coley.
Yeah.
And we don't get to know Cameron's family. Mm-hmm. And to the point where,
Because the grandma was a huge part of the book.
Huge.
And she's not, and she's not a character in the movie.
Yeah. Like, she's there, and she's sitting next to the aunt, but it's like...
Oh, yeah.
But, like, just like the aunt yeah. also is, like, a big character in the yeah, book. Yeah, she is. It's like...
She has, like, two lines in this movie.
Yeah. We don't fully understand their motivation, whereas I feel like, though it's never acceptable to send your kid to a gay conversion camp, mm-hmm. like, there were more reasons in the book, so it seems like... Again, very, like, on the surface. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, it's just, like, Coley and Cameron are caught making out in a car yeah, at prom. Well, not really making out. They were doing it.
Yeah. First, they got high.
Yeah. They were doing the devil's lettuce.
Oh, my God. You just have the best euphemisms.
I didn't make that up.
Oh.
I definitely stole it from the internet. But anyway.
The internet has great euphemisms.
Yes, it does. But then, like, immediately there's a scene of, like, the aunt on the couch, like, tearily, like, nodding her head furiously, mm-hmm. like, yes, this is what we have to do.
Yeah.
And then Cameron's gone. Yeah. And it's just like, why?
Actually, another one of my favorite scenes is also right after she gets dropped off. So the aunt, what's her name? Ruth?
Yes.
Yeah. Ruth drives her to the camp. They, like, go in. Reverend Rick, who... is a whole character. He's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
He, like, searches her stuff, because that's what they do. Mm-hmm. They find a cassette tape that she got from Columbia House, which I was like, oh, so 90s. And that's the only thing that she can't really have. And then Ruth drives off, and Cameron's just in the driveway wearing her Dyke denim. Yep. Looking real good.
Yeah.
And she just turns around and looks at the camp, and she's like, fuck.
Yeah.
She just says fuck, like, under her breath.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's just the perfect portrayal of that moment. Like, yeah. Fuck.
Like, what am
I'm here now.
All right. This is it. This is my life right now.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what she does is try to just sail under the radar.
Yeah.
Because
Definitely.
One thing I love about Cameron is that she, even though at a certain point it, like, almost breaks her where she thinks maybe there is something really wrong with me mm-hmm. because of the fact that I'm gay, queer, whatever, mm-hmm. lesbian, she never really truly believes that there is something wrong with her.
Yeah, doesn't like at one point she says, does she say at one point, like, I'm not a homosexual? Or, like, or I don't consider myself a homosexual or something
right,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because, yeah, and this also, so much of this movie reminds me of But I'm a yeah. Cheerleader, which we talked about in our But I'm a Cheerleader episode. We talked about this movie a lot, too. But, yeah, it's, like, that thing where they're trying to get you to say it.
Yeah.
And
But it's a different thing.
A different thing where, like, it's not because she thinks it's wrong to be a homosexual.
Yeah.
It's just that...
She doesn't think
of herself as, like, fitting into labels. She just thinks of herself as herself. That's what she says. I think, I'm just Cameron.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. She's one of those people that truly, like, could be label-less.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, I am who I am, and mm-hmm. that's it. And
yeah.
And it's interesting. I feel like she doesn't change much when she's in, the camp doesn't change her... value of herself.
Yeah.
I should say.
It
like she
almost
still
does.
It almost does, but she's essentially the same person. She's just kind of what I mean by that is like she's like you were saying, she's kind of like flying under the radar. Mm-hmm. I feel like she probably does that in school too.
Mm-hmm.
Like she probably just goes with the flow mm-hmm. and just doesn't cause a scene, is just kind of middle of the road. And mm-hmm. I feel that's what she is at the camp as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
Just trying to get by.
Yeah. She doesn't want to draw attention to herself because she knows this
Definitely.
Is not a place that she wants to be. She just wants to get out as fast as possible.
Yeah. Which is good for her because there are a lot of big personalities at that camp.
Yeah. Yeah. Both in the administration and among her peers.
Yeah. Who is it? Helen, I believe,
yeah.
is like her bunkmate.
Oh, no.
What's her
that's
name?
That's Erin.
Erin. Duh.
It proves your theory that all Erins are gay, even though I have a straight Erin friend.
Yeah, she doesn't count. I know, so many gay Erins. Or middle names count, too. Anyway. Yeah, and she's definitely one of those big characters. Yeah.
Okay, so her strategy is really different from Cameron's, where, like, she is overperforming her gender, her sexuality, she's overcorrecting in the opposite direction. She, like, wants to be the star straight, basically. And that is heartbreaking, honestly. Like, I am very sad every time Erin is on screen.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, damn, you're burying yourself. And then it, like, culminates in this scene where she like, breaks. Finger bangs Cameron.
Yeah.
And like, then she, like, can't deal with herself.
Yeah. She's pushing herself down so much and, like, just who she is as a person that, like, it's like she almost has, like, a mental break.
Yeah.
Like, I feel
there's
like...
There's a few people who have mental breaks.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we can get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
But I feel like... In the real world, I feel like Erin's probably like a Cameron. Like, she probably just kind of keeps to herself. Maybe she's, like, kind of a fanatic with sports and things like that.
Which is really cute.
But for the most part, like, I'm sure she just kind of is, like, you know, even keeled.
Mm-hmm.
But she's, like, so hyped up on trying to be, like, you were saying, the star straight that, like...
Yeah.
I feel like she does something that's extremely out of character for her. Like, the character of Erin for me, like... probably wouldn't have had sex for a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she acts out in a way that I think is not safe for her.
Yeah. I mean, no kid in this camp is safe.
No.
Even though the people who run it think that they're, like, helping them.
They're doing God's will.
Yeah. This is why I don't like religion. But I won't talk about that.
Exactly. Well, it comes back to that fundamental idea of, like, I was listening to, actually, Vintage Lesbians.
Oh, yes. Everyone should listen to the Vintage Lesbians podcast.
Yes, they are a also Seattle-based podcast about, you guessed it, Vintage Lesbians.
Yep. Lesbians in history.
And I believe it was them anyway. If it's not them, then I'm giving them credit.
just to listen to them.
It's essentially, like, the idea of, like, trying to change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your sexuality is a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to necessarily, like, define who you are, but it is, like, a part of your personhood. And if you're trying to, like, change that in a person, like, there's something fundamentally wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and the idea of, like... hate the sin, not the sinner. But it's like when it's a part of who you are.
Exactly. That's why, because the woman who runs the camp,
Lydia
Marsh, she introduces herself as Dr. Lydia Marsh. I'm like, shut the fuck up, lady.
Yeah, right. doctor from where?
Yeah.
Hell.
Yeah. I have a PhD in hell.
In hell.
she equates, and they did this in... Oh, no, they didn't do it in But I'm a Cheerleader, but remember when we talked about how the director of But I'm a Cheerleader, like, her mom ran a...
Yes.
Like,
an at-risk youth
No, it was, like, for kids who were addicted, I think.
Oh, okay.
To substance
so,
abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so she, like, drew some, I guess, inspiration from that in making But I'm a Cheerleader in, like, the residential house type thing.
Yeah.
Like, but in this movie, the director of the camp straight up equates homosexuality with drug addiction.
Yeah.
She's like, would you let drug addicts throw a parade for themselves? Which is one of the most horrible lines in this movie, out of many.
Yeah.
But...
And for many reasons.
And for many reasons.
It's terrible.
It's got layers of bad. So many layers
so
of bad.
So many layers of bad.
But, yeah. And, I mean, when you... put it like that to a kid, they're like, oh, shit.
And, like, at one point she even says homosexuality doesn't exist. We're all...
Right.
We are all...
It's that same
fighting
scene.
The same sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like their first one-on-one,
yeah.
basically, when Cameron is introduced to the idea of an iceberg or a root, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. The root was, but I'm a cheerleader.
Yes.
And yeah, but it's the same thing.
Yeah. So... at the surface level, your gayness underneath the surface. Why you're gay?
Yeah.
Because have you seen women? Question mark.
I love how Jane Fonda is like trying to help Cameron do her iceberg, and she's like, just write that you that positive feedback from sports mess with your gender identity. They love that shit.
And then when she finds out her parents are dead, they're like, yeah. Oh my god, definitely put that
on
there.
She's like, it should go on your iceberg.
Because like you could just be like, my parents are dead. Yeah. It'll probably like get you somebody like free passes or whatever. Yeah. Just to be like, that's it, that's on her iceberg.
Mm-hmm. That's why she's gay.
That's why she's gay, your parents are dead.
Yeah. Well, in the book, she does like kind of struggle with the connection between her mm-hmm. queer identity and her parents dying, because the day her parents died in that car accident
was the first day she kissed a girl.
Day she kissed a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she is equating that in some way as being,
or she struggles with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's not in the movie.
She clearly doesn't settle on it. She's like, bullshit, whatever. It's just a coincidence. Right. But, I wish we got to see more of that. But then again, we don't know much about our parents from movie Cameron. So.
Yeah. And, you know, honestly, I think that the filmmakers made a good decision. They, like, in order to make the movie coherent in, like, what it was.
Oh, I completely agree.
I think they made a good decision in cutting all that stuff out, even though it sucks as, like, someone who read the book and wants to see all that stuff in movie form.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been too confusing. It would have been too long.
I completely agree.
And so even though,
the book obviously doesn't work as a film medium.
Right.
Like, you would have to kill. You would have to, and they did cut out the unnecessary stuff to get to the root story.
And you can argue what's necessary and what's not, but they made a decision about which part of the story they wanted to tell. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to incorporate as much of the character as they could. Mm-hmm. And they let the rest go. And honestly, I think that was good.
Yeah, I feel like in a sense the movie obviously it takes Cameron into account as, like, the main character, but you could also argue that, like, the camp is the main character.
Yeah.
Because they rush to get to that point where, not necessarily rush in a bad way, but, like...
No, it doesn't feel... Because you also get some flashbacks and stuff.
Yeah, but just, like, leading up to, like, the horror hellhole haunted mansion.
Yeah.
That is
disguised as, like,
weird hotel, abandoned hotel.
It's kind of like... I wrote something down. So, like, there's weird moments of, like, family time type stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, it almost feels like a community space where there are some moments of joy, too, like when they sing from that. When they sing along with the radio while they're making dinner.
Oh, yes, like, the Four Non Blondes. Yeah, that's so good.
I love that scene. Yeah. And it's a good song, too, for that.
Yeah, what is going on?
Cameron and Adam and Jane, their friendship among the three of them is, like, the best.
Yeah.
They are really great friends to each other, especially Jane and Adam they were already friends before Cameron got there. And they, like... were good friends to Cameron, and they were good friends to each other, and, like, that kind of stuff is modeled there outside of the structure of, like, what the directors want it to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just interesting, because it's, like, a house, and it has this, like, homey feel. They, like, all help out
making dinner and stuff. Yeah, it has that familial, vibe, where...
But then it's also, like, this total horror show. Mm-hmm.
And it's, like... It's like they're fine when what's-her-face Lydia isn't around, or her minion.
Rick.
When he isn't around.
I feel bad for Rick.
I do too.
Even though he's horrible too, in his own way. He's complicit, I should say.
Yeah, he is complicit.
He's horrible in his complicity.
Yeah.
But that comes from internalized homophobia.
Super.
Like 200%.
And I feel like he is... this movie, he's, like, recognizing how fucked up that everything is.
He does recognize it at the end, I think.
Yeah, and he's like, oh God, like, what have I done?
Yeah.
You know, that basically. Kind of horror.
His story is funny how, like, he quote-unquote, like, got saved or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
or he was at that gay bar, and then two men from his church showed up there, and the way he tells it is that they had a feeling that he needed help, and so they went looking for him, and they, like, helped him, but the way that
it all
Jane...
sounds super predatory and weird.
Yeah, but then the way that Jane tells it later, she's like, yeah, obviously they were all just there for the same reason. They wanted to, like, suck
right?
dicks.
Yes.
But then they saw each other, and they were like, oh, actually, we're here because something's wrong, and actually we're just going to go be straight now.
Right? Yeah, that's exactly it. They got caught, and they were like, oh, never mind.
Exactly, but, Jesus. Like, to the extreme. Because then Rick is, like, a big part of this camp that, like, straight up tries to convert people. Ugh, I don't know. But anyway, Lydia's his sister.
Oh,
which,
I forgot that.
Yeah, you find out from Jane, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how she knows,
super
but...
super interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting that, like, when you brought up family, it just reminded me of, you know, how, like, chosen family is such a huge part of the queer community.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, instances like this where your family abandons you.
Or it's just, like, not a safe place to be or a healthy place to be.
And, yeah, it's just so interesting that when the kids are all together, for the most part, they're fine. Mm-hmm. And, like, they can manage by themselves, and they get along really well. And it's not like anyone's trying to, like, have sex with anyone else or anything like that. They're just trying to, like, live and survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. They're trying to survive this camp.
I see, like, so much gay culture in this movie. You know, in a different way than, like, but I'm a cheerleader.
Way different.
But it is, like, still, like, such gay culture. Like, even when I think she and Cameron are sitting down for the first time, and another student walks in, and Erin goes, "She's so butch, isn't she?"
Yeah, and then she goes, "I mean, I know that's a mean word, but I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean it, like, factually."
And it's just, like, that kind of thing.
And Cameron finds it funny.
Yeah, and, like, so do I, because it's, like, she can't help not being gay.
Yeah.
Like, and just, like, that, you know, that, I don't know, underground talk. No.
But, and there's, you know, another, like, part where they're, like, in group therapy, and the one guy, Dane or whatever, he's like, "I don't even know you, and I can tell you're a dyke." And then she starts laughing, but then everyone is, like, not laughing, and Lydia's, like, really upset.
That
and so she
part
stops
is
laughing.
So fucking funny.
I know.
Because it's one of those things where it's
part.
Like,
I know.
And you want to be like, "Thanks."
Yeah.
But you can't.
Yeah.
Like, gay conversion camp.
Right.
Oh my god, yeah, I love Chloe Grace Moretz in that moment, like, her acting
it
decision
was
there was really like,
yeah,
like, oh my god, he's losing it, and this is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when people tell you, like, after you got your haircut, I was like, you look really gay.
Oh yeah, but like, that was a compliment.
Yeah, it's a total compliment. And, like, we can get into the dynamics of, like, what makes someone look gay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It was very lighthearted.
Yeah, but
we
know,
have a rapport. It's fine.
A gay rapport. But it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, if someone's like, "Oh my god, you look hella gay today," and you're like,
"Yeah,
thanks."
Yeah. It's like an in thing.
Yeah, I just want to be noticed.
Yeah,
as being a
it's all about intention and who's saying it and how they're saying it.
I feel like I look gayer with my glasses.
Your glasses are hot.
Which I feel like it just makes me a stronger.
I should say I don't like the word hot. I think they're very
cute. They're cute.
They're very lovely.
They're lovely.
And they compliment your face very nicely.
My face. Yeah, and it's just like one of those things where. No, you just, when you feel comfortable in your own skin, you're gay.
Yeah. Congratulations.
The gay
you leveled up.
The gay just pours out of you.
Yeah.
And you go into this, like, evolutionary,
it's
that's
like,
me, evolving in gayness.
Yeah. It's like enlightenment, in a way.
Ooh, damn. We're getting deep.
What were we talking about?
Gay culture.
Gay culture.
In a gay conversion camp.
That's right.
Oh, to go back to that scene where, you know, they're all, like, singing and they're cooking. Everyone kind of moves out of the room except for Jane, Cameron, and Adam. And Cameron has that kind of moment where I feel like it's one of those moments where it almost breaks her, because she says, what if this is our only chance and we're blowing it?
Yeah.
What do you think, like...
Okay, so, wait, that was a different kitchen scene.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, because...
Damn it!
So, in that one where they were singing, what's her name? Oh, Lydia. She walked in and turned off the radio. Okay. And then... But it was, like, immediately after that. So, what happened was Cameron had gotten really into the singing, and she, like, stood up on the counter and was singing, using the potato masher as, like, a microphone. So she was kind of the center of it. Mm-hmm. And when Lydia walked in, she was like, Cameron, come with me. And then she gave her the letters that she hadn't read yet. And one of the letters was from Coley, which is like the worst, most heartbreaking thing. Cause Coley was like, in the letter she wrote, I can't believe you took advantage of our friendship. Even though it's clear she didn't, because you see in the flashbacks, there was a lot of asking for consent. There was no pressure at all. Like, it was very mutual. Mm-hmm. And,
like clearly, so you know, Coley is being forced to write this letter.
Right, exactly. And in a way, it's so interesting because Cameron also says, like, she defends Coley to the end.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, this happened to her, too. And Jane's like, yeah, well, you're here and she's not. But that doesn't really faze Cameron. She's like, but we still both went through it. And so... the fact that she's, like, that empathetic, and she still really loves Coley, like, after everything, it's just, like, oh, it hurts.
I feel like I probably couldn't blame my friend either for not, like, having the same, quote-unquote, punishment as me.
Right, but it's also revealed in that letter that Coley's the one who told her mom what happened, because it was Cameron's boyfriend, Beard, who caught them making out in, or having sex in the car at prom, and he was, like, freaking out about it. But then, in that scene, Coley was also freaking out about it.
Yeah.
Because no one had ever caught them before, and I think that made Coley really scared, and so that's probably why she told her mom. Yeah. And then, I'm just speculating here, but I'm assuming that her church, her parents, like, made her write this letter to Cameron, or even maybe convinced her completely that that's what happened, that Cameron took advantage of her. And that's just, like, so, it's gotta be so painful for both of them.
Yeah.
But that's the part where Cameron is like, what if Coley's right? Like, what if, she was like, I'm sick of feeling disgusted with myself.
Yeah.
Which is such a heartbreaking line. Yeah. And then, but Jane is just like, she's like, no, pink letter doesn't get to, or pink stationery doesn't get to mess with you. She puts it down the garbage disposal.
Yeah.
And then she says, maybe you're just supposed to feel disgusted with yourself when you're a teenager. And, like, tries to put it in perspective. But in that moment, Cameron can't really see it, I think.
Yeah. And it's like, I can see where Cameron is coming from in terms of, you know, Coley is still suffering.
Mm-hmm.
She might not be out of camp, but she's still suffering. And at the very least, being manipulated to think that one of her best friends, her girlfriend, you know, did actually take advantage of her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of everyone's trying to get into her head, I would assume, to make this, make her think it's a reality.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. So it's like they're just living their own.
But Cameron doesn't know. She thinks maybe she did take advantage of her. She says that. She's like, what if I did and I didn't even know it?
Mm-hmm.
And luckily her friends are there to be like, no. Like, you are not like the devil, like everyone here says.
Yeah. And is it shortly after that that they make their plan?
Mm-hmm.
To
make their plan to run
escape.
Away.
Escape!
Yeah. I think... So the three of them have this great little, like, routine where Jane, because she grew up on a commune with, like, lots of polyamorous drug growers, weed growers, she, like, knows a lot about weed. So she grows some weed up in the woods. They're allowed to go hiking by themselves because it's a, quote-unquote, gender-neutral sport.
Which I find fucking hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
So, like, up in the woods, she grows some weed, and so they have this, like, little thing where they just go and harvest it every once in a while. And Jane has a prosthetic leg, which she says it's because she was in a car accident. but she like hides the weed in her prosthetic leg.
Yeah, so funny.
Which is like genius. But that's how they kind of like get to be closer, is the three of them. They like hike up there together and they just hang out together. And Adam has some choice phrases that I just love. I wrote down some of them. He was like, sex with Lydia would be like fucking the mom from Carrie. And then, Cameron says something about how she likes her style or something. Not exactly what she said, but something about something she liked. And Adam said, old people taste and lesbian taste run parallel.
Yes, which is highly accurate.
Oh my God, I was like, you are so right.
Look at my fucking sweater.
I know. Also,
a 60-year-old would wear this.
Yes, and like, you know, like all we want to do is read and stay home and be with cats. Mm-hmm. I mean,
or watch movies with my dog, yeah. Because
I mean, actually, I'm not a cat person.
Yeah, you're a nothing person. No, I was like, I'm not a pet person. That sounds really rude. You're not a pet person.
I'm not a pet person. But
we could have a nice pillow.
Yeah.
Do you like pillows?
I do like to stay home and read and be quiet and drink warm drinks and stuff like that.
Oh, that was a good tea day.
Okay, we're done. I'm going to go home now.
I'm feeling cozy.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, they make them do forced karaoke, which made me feel really uncomfortable. Probably the worst part of this
thing,
camp.
No. The other thing that I loved... I love all these, like, moments of levity because it is a really, like...
It's a downer.
It's a downer. Folks. But there's these moments of levity, and one of them is Blessercise.
Oh, my God!
Where Aaron is, like, doing this exercise video, and it's, like, working out for Jesus.
Yeah, it's, like, sweating for Jesus.
Okay, I Googled this. It's a real thing.
Oh, I bet it is.
I found it. So, apparently, Found Footage Festival, which I guess is, like, a thing that... It's, like, a film festival where they show clips or... entire movies maybe of like all these VHS tapes that were found at garage sales and like Goodwills and stuff. And this was a real thing that was found there, and I'll link the video in the show notes. It's hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Bless her son. The woman's like, God made these bodies, so let's sweat for them. Sweat for him. Yeah.
And it's the one way that, like...
And it's a rainbow.
It
and
is
it's like
a rainbow.
It's like I remember, sweat for Jesus or, like, work out for Jesus or something.
Yeah, and I remember, like, I was like, it's a fucking rainbow.
Yeah.
Like, almost, like, yelling it in the theater.
Yeah.
And that's the one way that, you know, Aaron and Cameron kind of get close. They mm-hmm. work out together.
Yeah.
Cameron's a very athletic person.
Yeah.
She runs track.
Running.
Or at least I think she does.
I can't remember
in the book.
I think in the book she also swims.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just like a sporty person.
Yeah. Which I feel like if it's kind of like people who are in prison who, like, just work out to, like, let the time go by. Mm-hmm. Like...
I mean, that's pretty much...
Well take care of myself.
Pretty much what's happening
or
here.
Or distract myself.
It's like, she's pretty much there against her will.
Yeah.
Even though she did sign the thing.
Yeah, might as well do something slightly fun.
Yeah.
Something
that can, like, calm your brain and give you some endorphins.
Yeah.
Get your heart pumping.
Yes. So let's talk about the most gruesome scene.
Mm. Trigger warning.
Film. Trigger warning. There's... blood and
self-mutilation
which you don't see the mutilation. You do see blood, but one of the campers, he's in group earlier in the day and he really wants to go home and his dad won't let him.
Yeah, and he has also been performing this like straight cis, like, perfect gender sexuality thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants to go home, and that's how he's going to go home.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, been so long for him, like, doing this, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
So he breaks.
Yeah. There's... When he hears from his father that he can't go back home, he reads his father's favorite passage from mm-hmm. the Bible, and he... like, loses his mind a little mm-hmm. bit. He goes off and you know, starts, like, yelling
the whatever, last line or whatever.
The lines from the Bible.
Yeah.
And he's crying. Like, physically, yeah, he physically breaks down. Mm-hmm. Like, he starts crying. He starts to do push-ups, right? Because he wants to be, like,
manly or whatever.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably his dad made him do push-ups at some point.
Right.
I don't know.
And Lydia, you know, stops him. And that night, he mutilates his genitals.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Adam is his roommate.
Yeah, I think so.
And finds him.
Mm-hmm.
So the camper? Student? Child?
Prisoner?
Prisoner. Child prisoner. Is rushed to the hospital, yep. And basically, like, a social worker comes by and interviews all the students to see, like, how they're doing. And
That's so interesting, too, because the questions that social worker asks are, like, are you given access to the outdoors? Do you do schoolwork?
Mm-hmm.
And when Cameron's answering them, she's like, well, yes. But... like, I don't know. It doesn't get at...
I like what she was saying. Like, she says, I trust them to... hold on. She basically says, like, I trust them to get me food and to give me a place to sleep, but I don't trust them. How is programming people to hate themselves not emotional abuse?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, that comes at the heart of it. No, she says, I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she says. Like... like, she trusts them to do, like, basic needs stuff, make sure she's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to it, like, she doesn't trust them to let her live.
Mm-hmm. And she doesn't trust that they have her best interests or anyone's best interests at heart.
Yeah. And the social worker's kind of like, I can't do anything
right.
with that. I just need to make sure your basic needs are being met.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all he says.
Mm-hmm.
He's very just, like, buy the books about it. Just, like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I'll just let you keep falling through the cracks. See ya.
Yeah.
It's like, great.
Thanks, 90s.
Yeah.
Montana.
I mean, I'm sure it's not that different now.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, I mean, a lot of it's illegal.
That's true. A lot of states have outlawed it. But in the places where it still exists.
Yeah, you think of, like, yeah, how can you really trust someone who's trying to break you down as a person?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not abusing us physically.
You just saw the consequences. Like, what are you going to do about it?
This kid almost killed himself.
Yeah.
Because of the emotional abuse he suffered here and at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what do you expect when you're, like Cameron says, programming someone to hate themselves?
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of like. It's a good, I like that she said that.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
Yeah, not that they're.
Because it's kind of like in. Direct contrast to the I feel disgusted with myself.
Mm-hmm.
She's like coming to the coming around to the fact that like I don't have to feel disgusted with myself and they're making me feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's their fault, not mine.
Which I mean, ultimately it's uplifting that she gets to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because and I think that shows like huge emotional strength on her part.
Yeah.
And like just really solid, personhood. Like, she's, 17?
Yeah. I think it probably helps, too, that, like, she probably never, like, questioned herself in that way, like, questioned her, like, ethics or morals or whatever until she got to that camp. And she was, like when she, they're talking about Colleen, she's like, what if I actually did take advantage of her? Like, oh, God, what if I did do that?
Yeah. What if I am as horrible as everyone says?
Yeah.
Not everyone, but, like, the people.
Yeah, I feel like she probably didn't think that way when she was home.
Exactly.
So it's, like, this temporary...
And in the book, you really don't get that at all. Like,
no.
She doesn't feel that way about herself.
She's just doing her.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie, it's very good. If you want a direct adaptation of the book, it's... not that.
No.
But it's still
pretty
very
direct
good.
Adaptation of one part of the book.
Yeah. Which
but
I think...
you're missing backstory.
Yeah. Which I think is, like, as you were saying, the best way they could have done it to tell the story that they decided to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Which is excellent.
What do you think about the ending?
I like it, but I wish there were more.
Yeah. I feel that way about both the book and the movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm nervous for them.
Yeah, I'm nervous for them, too. Because even though they're out of that camp,
you know where they are. Now they're on the streets of Montana by themselves.
They're in a truck bed.
Yeah.
With who knows who.
A liberal who knows who, but regardless.
Yeah. And in the book, I don't know if they even get in a truck. They go swimming.
Yeah, they all go like skinny dipping.
Yeah. You know, like honestly, the book was so long that I wouldn't have wanted it to be longer. I would read a sequel.
Yeah.
Honestly.
That'd be dope.
Because I want to know what happened to Raptor.
But yeah, like it really makes you wonder, like what could possibly happen to these kids, mm-hmm. like.
In a way,
they're kind of alone.
It wraps up. Just like what we were saying.
It wraps up the story, that part of the story,
that bubble of the story. Yeah,
exactly.
So in that way, it's a satisfying ending.
Yeah.
But there's so many questions, like, yeah, what happens to them?
Yeah.
What do they do?
I like that you said bubble. Like, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's really just, like, a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of, you're forced to, like, accept.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't get to have that, like, satisfaction of knowing everything's going to be okay because it might not be.
Mm-hmm.
But for at least in this moment, they were well enough to recognize that they needed to save themselves and mm-hmm. get out of that situation.
Mm-hmm. And that's they have happy. Each other, which is really awesome.
And they do have each other. They're not just by themselves, mm-hmm. like, solo.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I do. And I like how they're all together and this... The shot actually, in my opinion, it's a little too long.
Oh.
It's, like, almost uncomfortably long, how long they're driving and just focusing on the three of them in the truck bed.
Hmm.
But it, like, also gives you that, like, finality of, like, you're not going to get anything else, and this is it, and you have to live with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, I did enjoy this film for what it was.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I do enjoy the book for what it was, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you do get a sense of, like, Cameron reaching some kind of, like, inner peace about her parents at mm-hmm. the end of the book.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
When she's swimming.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I would recommend this, but as we said, it's a downer, so be warned.
Yeah, make sure you're in a good emotional place.
Yeah. I did think this was a really fantastic, well-done film.
Yeah. It's really well made, really well acted. Like,
yeah.
It's a good one. I love it.
It served its purpose.
Yeah.
Like, for the
it's not one that I'm going to watch, like, all the time because it's really
it's
sad.
It's a downer.
But, I mean, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it was artfully done.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have any thoughts about this film, give us a shout out at galpalswatch@gmail.com or on Instagram at galpalswatch
or on Twitter at galpalswatch or on Tumblr at galpalswatchthepodcast.tumblr.com,
which I need to update.
Who uses Tumblr anymore?
Tumblr?
Just kidding. If you use Tumblr, I'm sorry. That was not a judgment on you.
I just can't keep up with it.
Me either. There's too many social medias. I'm sorry.
Not enough times.
Yes.
All right. Well, have a wonderful week and keep being gay!